Good morning, Woodbridge Community Church. Are you awake this morning? Good morning. It's good to be with you today. It's the first Sunday of August. August. Where did this year go? Today we're going to, at the back half of the message, we're going to be taking communion together. And this is a tradition here at this Jesus community, is that at the first Sunday of every month, we're going to remember Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. So if you are not prepared for that, this would be a good time here in the next minutes or so to go get a piece of bread and go grab some grape juice or whatever it is, and we'll be taking communion on the back half. And again, you know, hey, last Sunday was amazing. Sunday night, we did a worship and prayer night out in the courtyard, and it was really cool. About 75 people came. People brought their chairs. We social distanced. We were all wearing masks. And what was really neat is some people pulled up, and they just stayed in their cars right out in the parkway and rolled down their windows. And they just listened right there. It was great to wave at people, just to be together in community. It was really cool. Last Sunday, it went from 7:30 to 8:30, and as the sun was setting, and it was just beautiful. And we're going to do this again next Sunday. Next Sunday, we're going to try it from 7 to 8, and you'll hear more about that. But Sunday night, out in the courtyard, we invite you to come once again and bring chairs and bring a mask. And if you just want to stay in the car, you can just park your car. We're actually creating a transponder, so we'll tell you what radio station to tune in, and you can hear the service in your car. And so there's plenty of parking out there. It'll be good to see each other again. This pandemic isn't going to beat us. We can still worship the Lord. There are people all over the world worshiping the Lord in prisons and hiding in caves. You know, interesting days. Jesus will not be defeated. We will be in community, and God is with us. If you would, stand with me wherever you are, and as we're going to read the Word of the Living God today as we begin a brand new series called Awake. And here's a real cool section of scriptures we're going to have a chance to look at today. It's found in Matthew 26, verses 36 through 46, and the Garden of Gethsemane. It's a great teaching. When we read this, look who's awake, and look who's asleep, and look at the results. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and," notice, "keep watch with me," right? And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "So you men could not keep watch with me for an hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, saying, "Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. And then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand." Father in heaven, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. We gather as a Jesus community of Woodbridge Community Church. We gather as people on our own spiritual journeys to meet Jesus and to know Jesus and to follow Jesus. We gather this day, this first Sunday of the year 2020. We pray, Lord God, that you would send your Spirit upon us this morning Because, Lord, we need to hear from you. We ask, God, you would send your Spirit upon us because we need to be close to you. As we draw near to the Lord, you draw near to us. We ask, Jesus, you're the rabbi, you're the teacher, you know more than we do. We ask, God, that you would touch our eyes, that we would see this morning, and you would touch our ears, that our ears would hear your voice. We pray that this would happen for your glory and for your kingdom. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And y'all now may be seated. Welcome again to the service this morning. This morning I want to show you something kind of cool. When I first became a believer, I first met Jesus and really gave my life to Christ in the early 20s and in my early 20s. And about 2 years into my faith, I actually went to Israel and studied there. It was such a great experience for me. Radically transformed me, and that's why I like to keep taking groups to Israel. By the way, if you were planning on going with me in November, you're going to hear an email from me coming up this week that looks like we're punching it back to next March. We're trying to work around it. The Holy Land's still going to be there. It's been there a long time. It's just, when do we get to go? I remember as a young Christian, our guide took us, one day we had left Jerusalem, we were coming back down, we went to the place where David slew Goliath at the Valley of Elah. It was really cool. And then he took us to this place called the Bell Caves, and I want to take you there this morning. The Bell Caves are really cool. They're southwest of Jerusalem, and you walk into these caves, and they're all cut in limestone. And you walk into these things, and there's about 800 of them interlinked. And there's about 2,000 caves in general. Really, really cool. Big caves. And I remember looking in these things. And you could maybe just leave that one there. I think that one's kind of cool. I mean, these are huge caves. And as we're walking into these caves, and I'm like, you know, I noticed a Christian fish was carved into the cave. A symbol, you know, of Jesus. The early Christians, their early sign before it was even a cross was the fish, that we follow the rabbi who multiplies the fish and the loaves. And I noticed that there was like this carving of a fish. And then next to it, you would see like the beginning carvings of a cross. And I remember asking my guide, I said, that's interesting that there'd be Christian symbols here. And our Jewish guide, not a believer, he said, you know, When the second temple was destroyed, they call it the second temple period. It's the temple that was there when Jesus walked on the earth. He said that when the second temple was destroyed, a large Christian community left Jerusalem before it was destroyed and actually lived in these caves. They were like the catacombs in the days of the Roman persecution, that the early Christians, when Jerusalem was being surrounded and destroyed, they got out and they fled. They think there might have been 100,000 or more Christians living in and around Jerusalem. And they got out and they went to places like the Bell Caves. And huge Christian communities hid out here during the destruction of the Second Temple period. And I thought that was really cool. You see, on the Tuesday before Jesus died, he walked by the temple and he said, you see that these buildings are going to be destroyed. And the disciples were shocked that Jesus said this. And when he was on the Mount of Olives, they came up to him privately. They said, when will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? And the cool thing is Jesus answered their question. And he actually basically said, what you're asking is not a single event. It's a complexity of events. The destruction of Jerusalem and my second coming are not one, it's a complex web of events happening in time. And he warned his disciples that a time was coming not only for Jerusalem to be destroyed, but the Christians would enter into a time of persecution and tribulation. That they would enter into a time, a great time, a hard time on earth before he comes again. And there was this thought, when will this happen? And he says, it's more complex than that. There's multiple events that are happening. But Jesus began to warn his disciples, these will be the signs of the coming and the end of the age. And in Luke 21, he told his disciples 2,000 years ago, when you see Jerusalem surrounded, Get out. When you see Jerusalem surrounded, run. And he even prays. I pray that it not happen in winter, and that, you know, pray for the women that are pregnant and infant babies. This will be a tough time. And he warns his Jesus community in Jerusalem, leave. And they did in 70 AD. The warnings of Jesus saved their life 2,000 years ago. They left Jerusalem and came to the Belgates. And it's what's so interesting, and people have been asking me, Pastor Frank, are we living in the last days? Are we living, is this pandemic a sign of the times? Is it a birth pain? Good questions. And so we just finished a series called Wake Up Call or Last Call, and we talked about this. And are we living in the last days? And yes. When Jesus spoke, it's funny, they asked him questions. When will you be coming back, and what will the world look like when you come back? He answered them. And as Jesus answered them, when you read in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, surrounding the teachings of Jesus, answering their question, he gave five parables. And the five parables all ended the same way. Stay awake. Be awake. Stay awake. Be awake. Listen to this. And I just want to read a few of them for you. Matthew 24:42. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. A warning. Matthew 25:13, parable. Then he'd say, watch therefore, for you do not know neither the day nor the hour. In Mark 13, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he should come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, listen to this, Jesus says, what I say to you, I say to all. That's all generations. Stay awake. If you want to take notes with me this morning, the first note is, as we begin this new series, is this. Surrounding Jesus' teachings of the end of the age and his second coming, he warns his followers, stay awake. And you know, he was speaking to two generations. He was speaking to the generation that was going to see the temple destroyed. And they were awake. They saw the signs of the coming. They got out of there. Jesus' warning saved their lives. He was speaking to that generation, and he is speaking to a generation that will be on earth right before he returns. His teaching is the same. Stay awake. Different translations says alert or watchful. The point is clear. Jesus is warning people 2,000 years ago, when you see Jerusalem surrounded, see the signs of the times, and he warns a generation in the future. When you see the signs of the times, these are not times for you to be asleep. These are not times for you to be spiritually lazy. These are not times for you to be spiritually coasting. These are days for you to be awake. Awake. Are you spiritually awake during this pandemic? Is there seasons in our lives when we need to be more awake than in others? It was interesting, we were talking about this today, as the pastors get together, and for every sermon that's given on a Sunday morning, all the pastors get a chance to look at it on a Thursday, and we walk through it. And as we were walking through this, I asked the pastors, I said, Pastor Graham, you know, when are times when we need to be more awake? And he said, when you're going on patrol in the bush. Pastor Graham, as we know, was in the Rhodesian army and was in an ambush. There are times when you really want to be awake. I asked Pastor Vince, you know, Pastor Vince, when are times for you when you're awake? He says, when I'm riding my bicycle, when I'm riding my bike, I'm being alert. Is this guy on his cell phone? Is he going to hit me or not? And so forth. I remember asking, hey, Pastor David, you know, what are times we need to be more awake? He says, you need to be really awake on your first date. That's good advice. He's a wise man. You're right. You go on a date with somebody, man, who are these people, right? Hey, you know, I'm more alert and more awake when I'm driving late at night, because I've seen too many drunk drivers. When I'm driving late at night at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, or whatever I am, the light, I'm sitting at a light, it turns green. I'm not going out till I'm looking just to make sure, because I've seen really bad things as a chaplain for the police department. You know, hey, walking in a bad neighborhood, you want to be alert at night when you're doing that. I was thinking about this week. Have you ever surfed? When I was a young student, I loved surfing, and I haven't surfed now in about 3 years, but there was a day when I would dream about dropping in on waves for... You see, I made a friend of mine with a professor, a couple professors actually, when I was going to Biola University, and one of them was named Michael Anthony, and Dr. Anthony became a friend. He became a person that mentored me, and he was a surfer, and we would go out to, we'd surf at a place called Old Man's. It's down by San Onofre Nuclear Power Station. And you know, when the waves are 2 feet tall, it's okay. People will sit out there, and you're in between sets, and you're floating together, you talk. But for me, and I'm not a good surfer, when there's 8 foot surf, I was scared. I was scared. And it's real cool. If you've ever done this before, you're sitting in groups out there surfing, and you're always looking to see, is the set coming and how big is it and am I in a good place? Because if the set's big and it's farther out, you better be alert. And out, when you're out surfing, there's always, people will yell, outside, outside. And you're looking, and here comes this set outside. And you just paddle for your life, because the worst thing to happen is if a wave comes and you are in the impact zone, you're going to get drilled. It's called the washing machine, where the wave washes you, and you're just being tumbled. Big waves. The bigger the surf, the more awake I am. Scared. And it's interesting. The bigger the waves are, the people out there don't talk as much in between sets. There's an alertness. We were out surfing at a big set, and Mike was here, and I had him, I was paddling, and he was right behind my board. And I didn't think I was going to make it. And this thing was actually starting to crest, and it was breaking on me. And I punched through the wave as it was cracking at the tip of it. And I remember as my board came down the backside, it just made this slap sound, and I was relieved that I had made it past, and I wasn't going to get drilled. And once I made it through, I looked back over the shoulder, and I watched Mike's board crest through, and the wave took his board, and all I heard him say was, "No!" Whoosh! And then two pieces of his board flew in the air as his surfboard snapped in two. Hey, Mike, remember that one, if you're watching today? I laughed, because I made it, and he was okay, but cost him his Hobie. He had a great Hobie surfboard. There are times in our lives when we need to be awake. There are seasons in our lives, spiritually, where it's really essential that we're spiritually awake and attuned. Jesus was saying 2,000 years ago, he was speaking to two generations, the generation that heard him speak within 40 years. The temple was destroyed, and Jesus saved their lives by warning them. And he's speaking to a generation that'll be on the earth before he returns. And his teaching is clear. You need to be awake. This is not a time to sleep, or you're going to get hurt. Are we living in the last days? See, I believe Jesus is speaking to this generation. If there was ever a generation that could say, the Lord is close, it's us, the nation of Israel being established. The world's an absolute mess, like Jesus said it would be. He speaks about the increase of information. Listen to the sermons of the last weeks. This argument of, look at the events in our world, it's happening. I believe if Jesus was to speak to you and speak to me today, he would tell us, Stay awake. Be awake. Are you? During this pandemic, has it made you more spiritually awake, or are you more spiritually asleep? Someone came up to me and said, "Pastor Frank, I don't know what I'm more afraid of, having my temperature taken and seeing what that number is, or standing on a scale and seeing what that number is." The average American's gained 10 pounds, right? We're sitting at on the couch more. We're watching Netflix more and binge watching. And are we getting spiritually lazy? These are not times to be spiritually awake or spiritually lazy. These are times to be awake. How can you and I, as a follower of Jesus, be more spiritually attuned and spiritually awake? What do we do in order to be more spiritually attuned, spiritually awake? The answer is we need to be close to Jesus. We need to stay close to Jesus. I was thinking about this week, and I was thinking there's a story about Mary and Martha, two sisters, and Martha was preparing, and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Martha got mad at Mary. Mary, come help me prepare for the meal, and Jesus said, Mary, what Mary's doing is better than what you're doing. She's sitting at my feet and listening. What Mary was doing was just what our bumper video. There is these horizontal craziness things that are going on in our lives, but as we go vertical and we look up toward Christ, we see things more clearly. And that's what Mary was doing. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, not being distracted by. And this was better. In order to be spiritually alert, we've got to draw near to Christ. And that's note number two. If you're taking notes with me today, take this note down. The way to be more spiritually awake is to spend time with God. Have you been doing that lately? Intentionally. They call it professional drift. Sometimes in the business world, people just get comfortable and lazy and they professionally drift in their skills. Sometimes in marriage, we call it marital drift, where you begin taking each other for granted and you stop doing the things you should be doing in your marriage and it starts drifting. There's a thing called spiritual drift, where we as Christians drift because we just get lazy. It's like in surfing, it's like the tide takes us. If we don't stay intentional to stay where we're going to be, you get out and all of a sudden where your car was right in front of you is now 300 yards up the beach because you've drifted and you didn't even know it. We need to not be lazy. We need to be intentional. We shouldn't be spiritually drifting from Christ. The days to draw close and the days to draw near. What things can we do to draw closer to God? The top ten, the first one is we need to have a quiet time. We need to have a quiet time with God. We need to draw near to the Lord. It's an intentional event that happens. And I was thinking about this. Is there a better example of this in the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus and the disciples. Events were pretty intense. Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and he takes them there late at night, early into the morning. And Jesus knows. He begins praying. He takes his disciples and he tells them, stay watch, be prayerful, stay with me. And he goes and he's praying a prayer. He intentionally is drawing near to the Father, drawing strength and wisdom and courage. If there was ever a time in the life of Jesus when he needed a quiet time with the Father, it was that night before he died. See, Jesus knew what was going to happen to him. Jesus knew that tomorrow he was going to take the sins of the world on himself. And there's an interesting theological truth to this. Jesus just doesn't take our punishment of sin upon himself. He takes our sin himself. The scripture says, he that knew no sin would become sin on our behalf. Listen to this verse. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. Jesus wasn't looking forward to this. He was painfully repulsed by what he knew was going to happen to him at Calvary. Jesus knew that on the cross, he would not only have to accept a punishment for humanity's sin, but he would actually become sin. As all the darkness and evil of our lives would fall on him. We as mere mortals have no idea of the enormity of that weight in which He bore for us on the cross. It actually says that night in Gethsemane that Jesus was so stressed out that He began, His blood vessels in His forehead began to pop and He was dripping sweat of blood. Has that ever happened to you? We as mere mortals cannot really comprehend what Jesus was going through and what He has done for us on the cross. So much so that in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is there any way out of this, Father? Is there any way out of this? Is there any way that this cup can pass from me? Jesus was having second thoughts in His humanity. The battle. Thursday we were talking about this and Pastor Vince said something brilliant. He said for Jesus the battle was won at Gethsemane and for us the battle was won at the cross. See, Jesus, in that time of being with His Father, He aligned Himself. Not my will, but yours be done. Have you prayed that prayer lately? Jesus settled it in the garden. And then He comes back and He sees His disciples. What are they doing? Are they being spiritually awake? Physically awake? They're asleep. They're spiritually asleep. They're physically asleep. They're not ready for the fight, people. They're just sleeping. And you know, when you read this text and read it and see if you can sense a tone in the heart of Jesus. Because I think you can hear a sense of sadness in the voice of Jesus. As He asked them, could you not watch and pray with me just for 1 hour? Disappointment? He's sad. What's He sad for? Is He sad because His disciples couldn't support Him and is at this most critical hour in human history? Was He sad because they couldn't support Him? Probably. But I believe His sadness was for them too. Because He knew that they too were destined for a very bad day. That they were also going to endure temptation and trial in the hours that followed. But unlike Jesus, they were not spiritually awake. They weren't prepared. For His disciples could have been a time of spiritual regeneration, have become another hour of sleeping. And Jesus knew that. He knew that without a time for renewal in their hearts and souls, they were not going to be ready for the battle. And on the day that followed, how did His disciples do? Peter, who had vowed that he under no circumstance would he ever deny the Lord, denies Him 3 times before the cock crows, right? James and John, who earlier that week was asking, can we sit at your right hand and on your left hand in your kingdom in power and glory? But then they're nowhere to be found. They ran off when Jesus needed people to say at the trials that He had. They were gone. They took off. This was not the disciples' finest hour. They fled. Now I believe part of the disappointment that you hear in Jesus' voice when He says, could you not watch with me for 1 hour, was for His disciples and how unequipped and doomed to failure His dear disciples would be because they had not taken the time to draw near to God that morning. See, they miss the empowering that comes to those who draw close to God. How important is a quiet time in our life? If you want to stay spiritually awake and alert, it's critical. You know, and Jesus knew this. And it's kind of cool. When you read through the Gospels, Jesus modeled for His disciples the importance of spending time alone with God. And I just want to read some verses for you. In Mark 1:35, after a long night of ministry, it says, "And in the early morning," listen to this, "while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and praying there. Before choosing the 12 disciples, he spent an entire night hanging out with God the Father," right? Luke 6:12-13, "For it was at this time that he went off to the mountains to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, who he named as apostles." How about when Jesus hears the bad news that John the Baptist has been beheaded? Matthew 14:13-14. "Now when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. And when the people heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when he went ashore, he saw a large crowd. He felt compassion and he healed them." Jesus had a habit of getting away, being quiet and still before the Lord. And how about after he feeds the 5,000 in Matthew 14:22-23. "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. And while he sent away the crowds, and after he had sent away the crowds, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone." I like that verse. Well, if he went up to pray, and when it was evening, he was alone, well, who was with him before that? Jesus made a habit of getting alone and spending time with God the Father. And he modeled it for his disciples. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 3 years. The importance of being still and quiet and connecting with the Father. And at the Garden of Gethsemane, "Can you not do this just for 1 hour?" 1 hour. Sleeping. If there's ever a time... See, I have compassion on the disciples, and I think we all do. Because we all, if you're a follower of Jesus watching this morning, we know the importance of spending time with the Lord, being still before the Lord. We know this, and yet we understand the spiritual battle, the struggle, the discipline that it takes to be with God and spend time alone with God. We can relate with the disciples, and when Jesus says the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak, man, to get out of bed in the morning is important. That first kick out, so key, right? Get out. Jesus rose from the dead and we can't even get out of bed, says Keith Green in a famous song. See, it's so important for Jesus to take time out of his busy life and spend time with God. And my brother and my sister, it's so important for us. If we're going to stay spiritually awake, we have to be intentional in spending time with the Lord. Staying close to Jesus. Walking with Christ. Don't drift from Him. See, the closer you and I are to Jesus, the more He rubs off on us. He gives us His power. He gives us His perspective. Do you need perspective in the world? When you look at all the events and the things, it's not what do you think or what is, it's what does Jesus think about A, B, C, and D, and E. What's His perspective? With all of the social unrest, what's His perspective? I'm not a Republican, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. My kingdom is in heaven. I have dual citizenship. I'm an American citizen, but I'm a citizen of heaven first. He gives me perspective. Well, how do I get that? He has to speak into my life as I draw near to the Lord. When I hang out with Jesus, He rubs off on me. Jesus is the one that gives me power and perspective and strength and wisdom and peace and rest. Do you need these things from Jesus now more than ever? The only way you're going to get them is if you hang out with Him. The Bible says you draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. I like It doesn't say, you draw near to God and he's not going to. No. You make the effort and he's right there. He's ready. The more we hang out with the Lord, that's how we're spiritually awake. So here's some tips this morning. Hey, my brother, my sister, if you're maybe sitting here today and you're going, Pastor Frank, you're right. Yeah, I'm a little scared of maybe getting on a scale too. Maybe I've been maybe a little bit lazy. Spiritually, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being you are really spiritually alert and 1, you're just asleep in the light. If you're a 1, a 2, if you want to move up that scale, here's some things that all of us need to do as we draw near to God. And if you're going to take notes with me this morning, keys to spending time with God. Hey, here it is. You ready? Find a time. Jesus always found time. He set aside time. If you want to move up the scale of being more spiritually awake, you need to find a time to spend with God. You need to put it on your schedule. Psalm 51, 1-3, King David said this, give ear to my words, O Lord, and consider my groaning. He's not having a bad day. Heed the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. King David, a man after God's own heart, he set aside time in the morning to be with God. Jesus as well. He spent a lot of time. We read the scriptures early in the morning. He'd get up while it was still dark and he would spend time with God. It was intentional. But then we read Jesus would spend time at night at the Garden of Gethsemane. That was a time. You need to pick a time, and I need to ask you this. When are you most alert? Are you a night owl or a morning rooster? When is your mind most alert? Because whenever your mind is most alert, that's when you should give God that time. Maybe for a lot of people, Pastor Frank, that's the wrong question. I'm raising kids. I have no time. Okay, then practically speaking, when your kids are taking a nap, maybe that's your time. You know, there's been many a parent that would close the doors in the bathroom because they would have just a moment with a closed door and they would use that as a time. Sometimes it's practical. You have to find a time. Find a time. What time? When are you most alert? When are you most awake? Sometimes it's at night. Sometimes it's in the morning. Sometimes, I know many of people here, it was in lunch, they would go out to their car in between at the office, whatever, and they would be quiet right there in the car. Find a time. If you could pick one, I would say the morning's maybe the better time. And I say that because of Dr. Mitchell at Biola University. When he was talking to us as Biola students, he'd say, is an instrument tuned up before the concert or after? And he would say, you got to tune up the instrument in the morning before the day is being lived. Good old Dr. Mitchell, he would quote Charles Spurgeon, who was a great preacher. He said, an hour in the morning is worth two in the evening. While the dew is on the grass, let grace drop upon the soul. That's good. But hey, when's the best time for you to find a time that works best for you? Note number two, find a quiet place. Hey, Christian, if you want to move up the ladder, if you need to be more spiritually awake, and Jesus, I believe, is telling us now is the time, you need to spend time with the Lord. Find this time I'm going to spend with God. And then find the place where Jesus often would leave the house and he would go out, find secluded spots around the Sea of Galilee or what have you. As a young student at Biola, I remember I had a tree that I would go out to, and it was kind of cool. As I was teaching at Biola and I would walk the campus, I'd see that tree and say, I spent many early mornings with Jesus in the Bible and a journal I had a spot picked out for me. You know, as a young believer, I used to run along the beach and watch sunsets, and I still remember some of those early days of sweet communion with the Lord, watching a sunset on a beach and being alone with God. You know, you find a place. People have a Jesus chair. This is my Jesus chair. This is where I spend time with the Lord, in your home, or a bench. You find a place. You find a place. And by the way, you need to turn off the phone because the devil's going to have someone call you. Shut it down. Quiet. A quiet place. Quiet place. So find a time. Hey, I'm going to spend time with the Lord. And this is the place we're going to do it at. How about this one? Focus your mind. It's so important. If I'm going to have a devotional time with God, I need to focus my mind. Jesus, when he told his disciples, this is how you pray, and I love this one in Matthew 6:9. Pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven. Isn't that good? Jesus says, if you want to pray, you need to be reminded that the Father's in heaven, how holy is his name. You need to focus your mind. Whenever you go into a prayer time, a quiet time, you need to energize your mind to truth. Who am I talking to? I'm talking to God in heaven. And I'm here. Focus your mind in a quiet time. God, truth. And focus your mind on who are you. For me, when I begin my times in prayer, I always begin to pray, I am washed in the blood of the Lamb. I am holy and blameless. I think Ephesians 1. I'm an adopted child of God. Father, I come before you as your child. I pray truth of who God is and who I am. I begin that way. Sometimes I'll if I want to focus my mind, I might have a worship. I might sing a song to the Lord, or I might listen to a worship song as I prepare my heart, just because I need to focus my mind up. It's like the bumper. It's like, here's all the stuff going on in the world. You got to focus your mind if you're going to have a quiet time. Who is God and who am I? Whatever it takes, focus your mind. And then pray. Pray. Simple, right? Talk to God. Thank Him for the day. When I begin to speak to God, I try to be thankful. Because that's God's will for you, by the way. Did you know that? Do you want to know what God's will for you is? To be grateful and thankful. Whenever I begin my prayer, I'm always just want to say, God, thank you for today. As a pastor, I'm aware. Things that people get upset about, I don't get upset about things like that, because in my world, I'm dealing with people that are dealing with life and death issues all the time. People with cancer, people in the hospital, people losing their jobs, people that are fighting in their marriage. Their husband had an affair, their wife had an affair, their kids are having issues with drugs and alcohol. All of a sudden things, I'm just thankful. I'm thankful. When you pray, I pray and talk to God and just be grateful and thankful. You can talk to Him about these things. You pray. Now sometimes I'll pray truth. Lord, thank you, I am a child of God. Thank you, my sins are washed away as far as from the east is to the west. Father, I thank you that you are hearing my prayers, even if I don't feel that you are. You pray truth. Think truth. Pray truth. And then always, the Word of God, Scriptures, in any quiet time. I want you to think about this. You know God took the time to write you a book? God took the time through prophets and apostles to record His thoughts and who He is in the Scriptures. For those of us that have a Bible, to spend time in the Word of God is a privilege. A privilege. Find a good Bible. I mean, get a good Bible app. You know, if you're a brand new believer, you know, there's some good paraphrase Bibles like the Living Translation. Literal translations are really good if you're gonna really want to study the Bible, like the NASB or so forth. But find a good Bible and start reading. You know, I always say read the Gospel of Mark. If you're feeling you need Jesus, read the Gospel of Mark, and then go read the Book of James. Good practical. This is how you live it. And then find some good theology with like Galatians or something. But read the Scriptures and start recording your thoughts as you're reading the Scriptures and underlining and meditating and thinking it through. You know, find something that, man, Lord, this is cool, and underline it and start thinking it, meditating on the Word of God. So important. Scriptures. Hey, share. Do you have someone that, as you're walking with Jesus, do you have somebody that you can share your walk with Jesus with? Do you have somebody that, as you're reading the Scriptures or God speaking to you, you have someone you can share that with? Because there's something about it. When someone's sharing with you about what God's doing in their life, and you're sharing with them, and they're sharing with you what they're reading in their quiet times, and you're sharing with them, these are things that I've been reading and studying, you share. That's like an iron sharpens iron, as one person sharpens another. Spiritually, keeping us sharp and attuned. You wanna be more awake spiritually? Spend time with Jesus. Well, how do I do that, Pastor Frank? Set a time that you're going to do it. Set a place that you're going to do it. And when you do that, focus your mind. Just focus your mind on who God is and who you are. And then talk to Him. Pray. And I recommend that you start it off by just saying thank you. You know, every breath that you breathe and every beat of your heart's a gift from the Almighty. Your life is like a vapor that passes in the wind. Each day that God's given you to live is a gift. You should tell Him thank you today for today. And then talk to Him, right? Open the Scriptures. Begin reading and studying the Scripture as you get to know God in the Scriptures. How could we know who God is without the Word of God? So study God's Word and share it with other people. You do things like this, you're going to grow in your walk with Jesus. It's important. It'll help you. Be awake. See, 2,000 years ago, the disciples asked Jesus, when is this temple going to be destroyed? And when are you going to be setting up your kingdom? And the cool thing is, Jesus began answering their questions. And he tells them, your question is a complex one. It's not just one event. Many things are going to be happening between this temple being destroyed and my returning. And he began answering their questions. He began telling them stories on the importance of being awake and alert. And 2,000 years ago, that generation of believers heard Jesus and they were alert and they were awake. And when they left Jerusalem as Jesus warned them to, and they went to the Bell Caves, Jesus saved their lives. That generation of believers, the first century Christians, amazing people, alert, sharp, followers of Jesus. Jesus is speaking to another generation that would be on planet Earth before He returned. And He says the same message. Be alert. Be awake. This is not a time to be sleeping at the Garden of Gethsemane. It's not wise to prepare during an event, but before. You don't prepare for an earthquake during an earthquake. You prepare for an earthquake before the earthquake. You don't learn to shoot a weapon during a war. You learn to shoot the weapon before the war in basic training. See, brother and sister, the days that we live in, we haven't seen the tip of the iceberg, in my opinion. We're going to live in challenging days ahead. Hard days. The economy, this pandemic, social unrest, politics. We haven't even seen the tip of the iceberg. These are days to be spiritually awake and alert. These are not days to sleep. If Jesus was here today, he'd tell you, prepare. You don't prepare during an event, you prepare before. Jesus was preparing at the Garden of Gethsemane before the cross. We prepare. We stay alert. We stay awake. This is what we're going to be teaching about in the next series. This series called Awake. We're going to be speaking every Sunday morning. These are things that you can be doing in order to stay awake. These are things you should be doing to stay awake, spiritually awake, in the days in which we live. This week I want you to spend time with God. Take these notes and be intentional. Take the time this week to wake up. If you find yourself being a little bit spiritually lax, these are not the days, my brother, my sister. These are days to be sharp, because we haven't seen anything yet. God is warning us. God is calling us. Are you ready for communion? Jesus, he prepared for the cross, knowing that you needed a Savior. Jesus, coming out of the Garden of Gethsemane, was arrested, was tried by 6 trials, 3 Jewish and 3 Roman. They were all shams. They were lynchings. And by 9 o'clock in the morning, they had flogged Jesus, scourged Jesus, Isaiah 53, the prophecies, as Jesus takes the sins of the world upon himself. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. My sins was paid 2,000 years ago on a cross, and Jesus willfully gave his life for me and for you. Jesus said, remember me and what I'm doing. Jesus said, remember me and what I'm doing. How beautiful is Christ. I want you at this time to prepare yourself for communion. The worship team is going to come up, and we're going to sing a song, How Beautiful. We're going to sing the first half of this song. And during this time, I need you all to focus your minds on Jesus. We're going to sing the first half of this song. And then we're going to take communion together. And then we're going to sing the second half of this song. Pray with me, my brother and my sister. Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, it's the first Sunday of August of the year 2020. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus has left this earth. And we as followers of Christ gather this morning in the name of your Son. We ask, God, that you would purify our hearts today, our minds. God, may we focus our thoughts upon who you are and who we are as your children. Lord Jesus, we come to tell you this morning we very much love you and appreciate you. And we thank you for what you have done on our behalf. We come to worship you as the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the prophesied one. We worship and honor you now in your name. Amen.